is 15th, Bailey Cool of Harlan 23rd, and Maria Mostek of Creston is 26th in the top 30 individuals. On the boys' side of Class 2A, Monticello is ranked number one this week. Also individually, Travis Sean of Red Oak is ranked 23rd. In Class 2A girls, it's Unity Christian ranked number one in the poll. And in the small school class in 1A, both boys and girls, it's littered with area teams and individuals. In Class 1A, on the boys' side, St. Albert is ranked number one this week. Guthrie Center checks in at number seven in the poll, while Tri-Center is ranked number 10. Individually in 1A boys, Josh Sindelar of St. Albert is top-rated, with Spencer Rokols of Adair Casey ranked 6th. T.J. Bauer of Nottoway Valley is rated 8th. Ian Patrick of Riverside is 16th. Emmett Wheatley of Adair Casey is rated 18th. Ellis Johnson of Logan Magnolia, 19th. Gus Dahl of St. Albert is rated 21st. Eddie Halber of Guthrie Center ranked 22nd. Adam Christensen of St. Albert is 24th. And Jordan Christensen of Guthrie Center is rated 25th this week. On the girls' side in Class 1A, Griswold is ranked number one again this week. Also, Tri-Center is in at number eight. Corning is ranked number 10. Individually, Rebecca Topham of Griswold continues to be the number one ranked girls' runner, with Tiffany Shepherd of Corning ranked 7th. Alex Larson of Tri-Center is 12th. Alex Flippin of Griswold is 18th. Teresa Frells of Guthrie Center is rated 21st. Jordan Sint of Griswold ranked 22nd, while Ruby Johnson of Audubon is rated 30th in this week's poll. Well, players from Iowa State and Iowa know there'll be plenty on the line Saturday in Kinnick Stadium when the Cyclones and the Hawkeyes meet for the 60th time. Iowa State quarterback Steele Jantz is a native of California, but he's aware of what this game means. He became an instant Cyclones hero last year after he torched the Iowa defense for more than 300 yards of total offense in a triple overtime victory in Ames. Jantz made numerous plays in last year's game by breaking containment, and he knows the Hawkeyes will try to keep him in the pocket.
As his team like understands what you're good at and what you're not good at, you still got to be able to play your game. So, you know, they're going to try and stop me. I still got to be able to run, and I got to be able to pass.
Jantz says having played in last year's game will help him this weekend.
Well, I think any time you face a team before, Iowa or any team, it helps going into the second year. So, you know, I know it was a good win for us, and it was a kind of a crazy game. But just the fact that we played him once is helpful.
At the Hawkeyes camp, Iowa failed to win any of the games that involved a traveling trophy in 2011, and that empty display cases have been moved into the locker room.
I think it was just something that we had to see every day and kind of think about, and I think it definitely worked. I think Coach Joel definitely had a reason behind that, and you know, I think that after seeing them every day and seeing them empty, you know, you definitely have more motivation to go out there and try to get them back.
Iowa, that was senior Micah Hyde, who says the empty cases are a reminder of past failures. Iowa center James Ferentz believes the offensive line will make strides this week. The pass game struggled, and James Vandenberg was sacked 6 times in last week's victory over Northern Illinois. Iowa State has not won in Kinnick Stadium since 2002. In their last visit 2 years ago, they were beaten 35-7.
That is a memory in the back of my mind. I remember that being a sophomore. Kinnick's a great place to play football, and I hope to go out victorious there. And that does itch at me a little bit that we got beat so bad. So I'm looking forward to get back in that stadium and play.
That's Cyclone senior linebacker A.J. Klein, who expects a tough challenge even though the Hawkeyes struggled in their season opener.
Their offensive line is still physical and fast like it always has been, and I know it's going to be a great game. It always is. It doesn't really matter what happened last week. For both of us, we had a great win. They barely won. But, again, it was the same thing for us last year. So the games before really means nothing just because of how much this game gets hyped up. They're going to be ready to play no matter what.
We'll have that game for you Saturday here on the radio. 2:30 kickoff and 12:30 is our pregame show. The UNI football team doesn't have the luxury of enjoying their performance against Wisconsin, as the Panthers have a very unknown challenge facing them this weekend. The Panthers battled Wisconsin last weekend within 5 points in their season opener, but Coach Mark Farley says they now need to put that game in the past. Panthers open up their home schedule Saturday against Division II Central State out of Ohio. The two teams have never met before, and the Marauders have several new coaches this year, making them a very tough scout for Farley and his staff.
They've got a couple new coaches, and it's a personnel that we have no familiarity with. It's a school we're not familiar with. We're trying to find a plan so our players are comfortable in the game, playing the plan, and being that there's some uncertainty about what you're going up against, it's still equal to last week. There's some uncertainty about what we're going to face. it's that same apprehension going into this game is what are we going to face so we can have a good plan and our players can execute it.
Now, the Panthers will face Iowa at Kinnick Stadium a week from Saturday, followed by matchups against two of the top teams in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, so they need to be focused when they kick it off against Central State at 6 o'clock Saturday night. Well, the Drake Bulldogs host one of the top teams in the FCS Saturday night when they take on Montana State. The Bobcats are fourth-ranked nationally after opening with a 33-6 win over Chadron State. Drake coach Chris Creighton says the Bulldogs could be playing more of the top teams in the FCS down the road. Beginning with the 2013 season, the Pioneer Football League will receive an automatic bid into the national playoffs.
I think we'll always continue to play those games because we like it. We like the challenge. We think it makes us better. We have two FCS scholarship programs out of our three games this year in the non-conference, and, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with playing one or two of those a year.
Well, the Bulldogs visit Indiana State next week. Creighton says the Bulldogs may not have the depth of a full scholarship program like Montana State does, but they're not going to back down from the challenge.
We have guys who can play, for their team, I promise you that. And I don't know, you know, that we have 108 that are ready to play. We won't be backing down, but we have a lot of respect for their program and their team.
Drake opened up with a victory over Grandview August 30th. Montana State, by the way, is led by former Drake coach Rob Ash. Well, the Dallas Cowboys waited all year for another shot at the New York Giants, and when they got it in the 2012 season opener, they didn't miss. Tony Romo tossed three touchdown passes, and Dallas dominated the Super Bowl champions 24-17 in a win that wasn't nearly so close. It won't make up for the New Year's Day loss that cost the Cowboys the NFC East title and sent the Giants on their way to the NFL Championship. Romo threw for 307 yards, and DeMarco Murray supplied the bulk of the Dallas ground game with 129 yards. Kevin Ogletree caught two of the touchdown passes for Dallas last night. Well, the NFL kicked off the season with replacement referees, and for the most part, nothing seemed different. They were largely a non-factor in the Cowboys' win. Jim Corr's seven-man crew seemingly didn't make any blunders, although there were a couple of calls of both teams questioned. Corr, the head referee, is a veteran Division II and III college official. His crew took some heat on a couple of calls. Of course, that's no different than with the regular crews. Officials are questioned every game about just about every call, and this one was no different. Commissioner Roger Goodell says he wants the best officials on the field for the new NFL season, but he's got to think about what's important for the long-term future of the league. Goodell was asked about the labor stalemate between the NFL and its game officials at a fan forum hours before the season opener. Goodell says he wants officiating that's consistently good and the flexibility to replace underperforming officials. He says he's willing to make the short-term sacrifice to achieve that goal. The league plans to use replacement officials during the first week of the season. Also in the NFL, Pro Bowl linebacker Brian Urlacher practiced Wednesday as the Chicago Bears continued to prepare for their season opener against Indianapolis. Urlacher injured his left knee in the final game last season and has been sidelined for most of the preseason. He had arthroscopic surgery in mid-August and practiced Monday for the first time since July 31st. Trent Richardson, the third pick in the NFL draft by Cleveland, is set to play in the Browns' opening game this Sunday against Philadelphia. The rookie running back practiced again yesterday for the second time since having knee surgery August 9th. Richardson is expected to play and perhaps even start the game. Former Baltimore Ravens owner Art Modell has died. He was 87. The team said that Modell died early this morning at Johns Hopkins Hospital, where he had been admitted on Wednesday. A cause of death was not given. Modell was among the most important figures in the NFL as the owner of the Cleveland Browns, which became the Ravens after he took the team to Baltimore in 1996 in a move that tarnished his reputation as one of the league's most innovative and influential owners. In baseball yesterday, Washington's Gio Gonzalez is an 18-game winner after pitching the Nationals past the Chicago Cubs 9-1 as Gonzalez hurled seven shutout innings, allowing just three hits, striking out nine as he's now 18-7. Elsewhere in the National League, by a few hours, R.A. Dickey was baseball's first 18-game winner as Ike Davis hit a three-run homer to lift the New York Mets to a 6-2 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals as the knuckleballer allowed two runs in 6 2/3 innings to move to 18-4. Just how dominant is Roy Halladay when given a lead of at least four runs? Try 110-0. Halladay got that lead as the Phillies beat the Reds 6-2 yesterday. Atlanta remains 7.5 games back in the National League East after they blanked Colorado 1-0. Arizona knocked off NL West leader San Francisco 6-0. The LA Dodgers remain 4.5 games back of the Giants because they lost to San Diego 4-3. Also, Ricky Weeks homered twice and drove in four to help the Brewers beat the Marlins 8-5. Kevin Correa pitched six solid innings as a fill-in starter, and Alex Presley, a late addition to the lineup, had two hits as Pittsburgh beat Houston by a final of 6-3. In the American League, the New York Yankees held a team meeting before the game, and when the game was over, they were back in first place in the East as the Yanks beat Tampa Bay 6-4 to take a one-game lead over Baltimore as the Orioles lost 6-4 to the Toronto Blue Jays. Also, Adrian Beltre hit a three-run homer. Michael Young also went deep, and the Rangers held on for a 7-6 win over Kansas City. Torrey Hunter drove in three runs as the LA Angels completed a three-game sweep at Oakland with a 7-1 victory. Also, Alex Rios homered twice, drove in a career-high six, and the White Sox picked up a 6-2 win over Minnesota as Chicago retains a one-game lead in the AL Central over Detroit. Detroit also a winner 7-1 over Cleveland. Also, Seattle nipped Boston by a score of 2-1. In Pacific Coast League playoff baseball yesterday, it was Omaha beating Albuquerque 8-4. The Storm Chasers take a 1-0 lead in that best-of-five playoff series. Game 2 against the Isotopes is tonight in Omaha. There's been a major upset at the U.S. Open as five-time champion Roger Federer, the top seed, is going home before the semifinals at the Open for the first time since 2003. The 6'5" Tomas Berdych posted his fourth victory in his last seven meetings against Federer, winning 7-6, 6-4, 2-6, and 6-3. Federer hadn't competed since Saturday. The man he was supposed to play in the fourth round Monday, Marty Fish, withdrew because of a health scare. Meanwhile, Andy Roddick's career has come to an end. The 2003 champ lost to Juan Martín Del Potro in four sets in a fourth-round match at the Open. The 30-year-old Roddick surprised the tennis world last Thursday when he announced that the tournament would be his last. The seventh-seeded Del Potro, the 09 U.S. Open champ, won 6-7, 7-6, 6-2, and 6-4 in a match that spread over 2 days. Defending champ Novak Djokovic advanced to the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open when he picked up a victory. Olympic champ Andy Murray rallied against 12th-seeded Marin Cilic in a victory. Also on the women's side, 3rd-seeded Serena Williams served 12 aces in a 6-1, 6-3 victory over Anna Ivanovic to advance to the semis. Maria Sharapova and Sara Errani also advanced to the semifinals as Sharapova eliminated 11th-seeded Marion Bartoli, while Errani beat her doubles partner and good friend Roberta Vinci. In straight sets, Irani will play Williams in the semis. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.